of us will be, thank you, sir, you got that, in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 this morning, continuing our series through the book of Luke. We're here in chapter 9. They'll come in chapter 10. The 12 have just been sent out, two by two, proclaiming the gospel, continuing the ministry of Christ, and we get here to chapter 9, verse 10. If you find your place there, let's all stand if you wouldn't mind, and are able to this morning as we honor the Word of God. Luke chapter 9, we'll begin our reading in verse number 10. And the apostles, when they were returned, well, from where? Well, from their trip. They were sent out two by two. They've come back, and they returned, and they told him all that they had done. And if you remember, there was a stir that took place, right? God used them in a mighty way. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to a city called Bethsaida. This isn't a desert like a sand dunes desert. In fact, I think in Mark we see that they'll sit on grass, but it's a desert in this place where there's no food available. They're not close to lodging. They're in the wilderness. Okay? All right. Verse 11. And the people, when they knew it, followed him. Just can't get alone ever, right? And they followed him and spake unto them of the king. And he received them. Very important phrase. And he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about, and lodge, and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. But he said unto them, give ye them to eat. That shocked them. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Except we should go and buy meat for all this people, for they were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake and gave the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat, and we're all filled. That filled is like a teenager filled, you know what I'm saying? Stuffed to the brim, hard to get up, that kind of filled. They ate a lot. And there was taken up of fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. So we'll pray and we'll get right into our message. The title is this: you might not have enough, but you have enough. You might not have enough. It's true. But you have enough. Subtitle: just give what you got. Just give what you got. Let's pray. We'll get into it. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this, Lord, great passage and this great event that happened as Jesus fed the 5,000. And Lord, maybe even more incredibly, that he allowed the disciples to be a part of that. And God, we're humbled by your goodness to us, that you allow us to be a part of what you're doing here on earth. Help us, God, as we consider that this morning. We love you. Christ is my prayer. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. So again, as we come to verse 10, the 12 have been sent two by two to be involved with Jesus' ministry. It was time for them to go from just listening to Jesus and watching his ministry to now getting involved and being a part of the ministry themselves. It was time for them to, as we say, get in the field, to stop watching others, namely Christ, work the field, but it's time for them to get in the field. And as we saw last time, as all 12 got in the field, we had full participation. That's what we're after, isn't it? Full participation. God used that, and he used them in a mighty way. And we saw that Jesus became the talk of the town. There was a great stir. Everyone was hearing about Jesus and what he did. And as they were in the field, they taught many people, but they also learned a lot of lessons themselves in the field. And that's how ministry works, isn't it? As you minister to people, you're going to help others learn, you're going to help others grow, but really there's no better way to learn and to grow than to help others learn and grow. As you work the field, God will grow you in a special way. And that's exactly what he did. And so here's what we have right now. We have some disciples who are excited, who have learned a lot, who have done a lot. And we have all of Galilee who is abuzz, stirred up about who this man Jesus is. And so then we get to the end. And verse 10 tells us, and the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. And so they come back excited. They come back probably full of confidence, right? Like, man, it's incredible what God did through me. Maybe a little bit of, it's incredible what I have done. Okay? Now, that's not evident and apparent here. It will be in the 70. When we get to the 70, they do the same thing. They get all proud of themselves. When Jesus pops their bubble. I'm looking forward to that. I like that. But anyway, so we have these apostles who are excited and confident, also a little bit tired probably, which is partly why Jesus says, let's go to a desert place and to get some rest, presumably, and that's probably what the 12 thought, but we found out that everyone followed, right? Jesus is trying to get them to go to a desert place, and look at verse 11, and the people, when they knew it, followed him. They couldn't get away. Well, who are all these people? Well, probably all the people who are interested in Christ, right? All of those who are stirred up talking about this man. And so they hear that these 12, maybe the two that even taught them, had come back. Maybe they even followed the two that, you know, back. We don't know all the details, but what we do know is that people are excited and they hear that Jesus is trying to sneak away with his 12. They weren't going to have that, and they follow him. And so here's what's happening. You can just imagine being with a disciple and being doing all of this work for I don't know how long and wiped out, and Jesus says, hey, let's go to a desert place and let's be by yourself and maybe get some rest, and here comes all the people. And they're like, man, not even Jesus could get these people to go away. But I have a feeling Jesus knew those people were going to come. What do you think? And so Jesus is doing this because here's what he's going to do. He is taking them privately still, I believe. He said, I'm going to take you privately. So he's going to do something privately in these 12, but in a public setting. What do you mean by that? Well, let me explain. The people come. They knew that they were there. They follow. And when they did, now if Jesus was really truly interested in mainly rest here, he would have said, shoot, go, get, right? But he didn't do that. And he never does that, does he? Here's what he does. Look at verse 11. And he received them. That's awesome, right? This is a Savior who's tired. These are 12 who are tired, but still he receives them. And then here's what he does when he receives people. And spake unto them the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. And so what we can learn right here is it's just incredible. Just pause and think how incredible our God is, that he cares for people this much, right? As the God of the universe became a man, and he did become 100% man. He was always 100% God still. But when he became a man, he was 100% man, and he was tired. And he still would receive them and preach the gospel to them and heal those who needed help. Incredible. And so he was ministering to the people right here. So he's kind of, in a sense, if you can think of it physically, has turned his attention from the 12 and is ministering to the people. But I believe right here, he is still teaching his disciples something. Are you following? And he is showing his disciples something, and he is wanting to teach them a lesson. And here's the lesson. When you serve God, it involves loving and serving people. When you serve God, it involves loving and serving people. What did Jesus say were the two greatest commandments? Remember in Matthew 22, they came unto him and they said, so what is the greatest commandment? And they were trying to trick him, like always. But Jesus never falls for that stuff. And here's what he said in Matthew 22:37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. That's the first one. And this is obviously the greatest commandment. We all know that. God deserves your whole life. Your whole life. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, everything you do, every decision you make needs to go through Him. He deserves that. We should surrender to Him. And if you do that, that's the foundation of everything, and you will fulfill the whole law, won't you? If you surrender to Him and you love Him with all your heart, you will also start making decisions. You know what that means? If we start making decisions without Him, if we start doing our own thing, what has happened is we didn't just violate this standard and sin on this way. We sinned first back here when we decided not to love the Lord with all our heart, mind, and soul. So we love the Lord. That's one. But Jesus didn't stop there, because He said this in verse 39 and 40. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And He says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, those people were probably a little frustrated because they didn't ask what were the two greatest commandments. They wanted to know what is the greatest commandment. So why did Jesus throw in the second greatest commandment? It's because this: you cannot love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind without loving people. You can't. Are you following me? Are you seeing that? That's why Jesus later, toward the end of His ministry, washed His disciples' feet. And here's what He said to them: if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Does that mean we need to wash everyone's feet every Sunday morning? No. It just means we need to serve people. Washing feet was the lowest of service. It was reserved for the lowest rank servant. Not just a slave, but the lowest of the slaves did that. And Jesus made Himself the lowest and served people. And put his wants and desires aside and met the needs of others. And we're called to do the same. Because you cannot love God without also loving people. Yeah. We are here on this earth to serve God by serving people. Now, this isn't just for the sake of serving people. We're not just going out there and seeing what can we do to be a blessing. If you're serving God first, it will change what it looks like to serve people. And there are churches out there who are not really serving God. They are only serving people. And we could fall in that trap. We're not here. The church of God is not here just to serve the community in any way. We're supposed to serve the community in a specific way. And it's the way Jesus served them. What did He do? Preach the kingdom of God. And He healed their diseases. Now, we can't heal anybody's diseases, but we can be a blessing to people for this end, to get them the word of God. We're not just out there to make everybody happy. We're out there to serve people. But if you're serving God first, then here's what you know. The way to serve people is not just to meet their physical needs, but to meet their spiritual needs. In fact, John 6, we're not going to go there, but John 5 records the feeding of the 5,000 we're about to get to. And then the next morning, everyone comes back, and they're like, we want more food! And Jesus could have done it again, but He didn't. Because He said, no, you're not really... Here's what you need more than food. You need spiritual food. You need to know about the kingdom of God. And He said, you're not here to get real help. You're here to get some breakfast. And He sent them away. Because how we serve people is by getting them the truth of the gospel. That's what the church is here to do. But if we are serving God, then we will have a heart to work the field and serve people, you see. Here's what we're saying right now. You cannot love God and hate people. If you hate people, you need to deal with that. Oh, I just don't like people. Well, then you're not in love with God. Well, that was rude. Well, let's let John say it. 1 John 2:10 and 11. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Now, I believe that this is talking to saved people who have broken fellowship with God, because you can be a saved person and hate people, and the moment you do, you lose fellowship with God, and you're in darkness. 1 John is writing to us how to fellowship with God, how to fellowship with God. And you cannot fellowship with God if you hate people. That's what John said. That was in chapter 2 of 1 John. Chapter 3 of 1 John, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Salvation, you can only love people purely if you're saved. Salvation and loving people, they go together. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another. Now, if every saved person automatically loved everybody, then he didn't need this verse. But he says, brethren, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. If you truly love people, here's what we know. You're probably saved. Well, we know you're saved. But truly, the way that God loves people, if you love people that way, that is John says, an indication that you are born of God and knoweth God. But he says this, he that loveth not knoweth not God. That's what he says. He that loveth not knoweth not God. So you say, I just have a hard time loving people. Here's what you need to do. You need to get to know God. You need to get to know God. Because as you know God, you'll love people. That's how it goes, right? That's how it goes. Yeah. And so we need to love God and serve God. And the way that expresses itself is by loving people and serving people. Okay? And so Jesus is teaching that lesson to them. But here's the next thing you need to understand. When you serve people on behalf of God, and you try to help them and try to get them spiritual help, it won't be long before you notice you don't have enough. You don't have what it takes. You can't do this. It won't take long. As Jesus ministered to the people, the disciples noticed that the people that he's ministering to, they need food. Look at verse 12. And when the day began to wear away, it's starting to get late in the day, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitudes away. Here's what's happening. They're seeing this incredible group of people, 5,000. Now Matthew 14 says 5,000 men, and so does Luke, but he says beside women and children. So we're not talking men as in mankind. We're talking males, which is a thing, okay? So there's 5,000 males beside the women and children. And so there could be more than 10,000 here. Are we following? And they're seeing this sea of people. And so as they see that sea of people, they're also starting to think this. We're in a desert place. Remember I told you, a desert, not like a sand desert, but there's no food here. There's no lodging here. And the day's getting low. These people are probably hungry. And if we wait too much longer, they're going to be really, really hungry. And so they're in their mind thinking, we need to stop preaching and go eat. Eh? You guys know how that feels. Anyways, you probably thought that before. But we need to send these people away so they can go get housing, go sleep somewhere, and victuals, food. Amen. Okay. So here's what's good about that. One is they do see the needs of people. Okay, that's a blessing, right? They look at the people, they're concerned about the people, they see the needs of the people, they notice that the people do have a need. And that's good. And the first step, listen, the first step in ministering to people and the first step of loving and serving them is to notice that there is a need. And they did that. That's a blessing. Sometimes we get so caught up in our life, and sometimes, this is ironic, but sometimes we get so caught up serving God that we don't even see people and we don't see their need and what they're struggling with. But they did. So we need to notice the need. That's a blessing. And so they come to Jesus, and they tell him the need, right? Send these people away so they can go. And that's good. And as we notice the needs of people, it is right and appropriate to go to Christ and say, Christ, this need is there. Jesus does want us to bring those things to his attention. He does say to ask, seek, and knock, doesn't he? So that's good. Notice the need, bring the need to Jesus. Now here's where they kind of started to break down a little bit. The way they tell Jesus right here is not good. Look what he says. Verse 12. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away. Like they're demanding here, right? That they may go into the towns and countries round about and on the goes. And so the way they demanded Jesus makes it seem like Jesus has no idea this is a problem. Hey, did Jesus know that they're in a desert place? And did Jesus know that they needed to eat? Yes. Okay. All right. So they talk to him as if he doesn't care. Not like they care. That's where they're starting to mess up. You see this? Like they see the problem, but Jesus, he has no idea. And it's not like they're coming to him to make a suggestion. If they would have said, Jesus, we're noticing this thing, and we're getting late in the day, and there's a lot of people, they haven't eaten, what should we do? That would have been better. But they go and start demanding Christ. This will help you. When you talk to somebody in authority, make sure it comes off like a suggestion and not a demand. If someone in your life is a leader, you don't go to them and say, I see this, this is what we should do, and if we don't do it this way, you're wrong. Whoa, when did you become the leader? And now I have to do what you say, or I'm wrong, and if I do what you say, it's because you told me, and things are reversed. That's not how it goes. We make suggestions to leadership, don't we? And we say, hey, I've noticed this. Now, human leaders are not like Christ. We might have overstepped or overlooked some things and not noticed some things. And so as a leader, as the pastor of this church, I need for you to come to me with things. I need it. I'm a man. I'm limited. I'm frail. I'm a dummy, okay? I need your help. So come make suggestions. But don't come and say, here's the problem. It better be done this way. Oh, okay. Maybe we just won't do it at all. it puts them in a place to be in the flesh, doesn't it? It does. It's not helpful. Come make suggestions. That's not what they did. They came and they commanded Jesus. Said, you need to do this. By the way, when we come to Jesus, he's the ultimate authority. And let's not come to him making demands. Okay? Let's not talk to him like he has no idea what's going on. Let's not talk to him like as if he doesn't care. He knows what's happening, but he does want us to come ask. So ask. It's not demand. It doesn't say demand, seek and knock. Okay? Are we doing right? Okay. So, because here's the thing. He might have a better solution to your problem than what you came up with. And Jesus does. I love what Jesus did. He basically ignored their attitude. He could have chastised them for it. And so I'm just glad you have a good attitude. I'm just glad that we're not talking good about this. And he could have demeaned and he could have done all these things. He didn't do that. He just said, listen, here's what we're going to do. You give them food. That's what he says. Look, verse 13. But he said unto them, give ye them to eat. Now, we know from the other accounts that at this point, here's what they say. Let's read the rest. And they said, first of all, they're shocked, I'm sure. We have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. Now, we know from other accounts that this 5 loaves and 2 fishes was from the lunch of one of the boys in the crowd. And so they had already done some diligence here, haven't they? And they've already looked around to see who has food. And the only one who had any food was this boy, and he had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, you say, I don't know about you, but I thought this way, like, what kind of lunch is this for a boy? 5 loaves? Yeah. Maybe we're talking about a 14-year-old boy. I don't know. No, that's not what it is. Not five loaves like Americans' loaves, okay? These have been more like little biscuits, okay? Little loaves. And then the two fish would have been probably a dried fish or a pickled fish, and it would have been pretty little. And so 2 little fish, 5 biscuits, a lunch for a boy. Okay, that's all they got. And so the disciples look at what Jesus is telling them to do, feed all these people. They look at what they have, 5 loaves, 2 fishes, a boy's lunch. And then they look at the 10,000 plus people. And you know what they quickly realize? I don't have enough. Jesus, I see what you're saying. I know what you want me to do. I can't do it. Right? Do you see it? They don't have enough. And when you serve people, it won't be long before you notice. You don't have enough to meet their need, really. I don't know how I'm going to help this person. You've been there? This person I love, and I know what they need. I can't give it to them. They've gotten themselves in a mess. I don't have what they need here. How am I going to make this better? Can I just stop and say this? Jesus knows what you have. He knows you don't have enough. He knows how much you're able to handle. Here's all you need to do. Just give him what you got. Right? Just give him what you got. They had the 5 loaves, the 2 fish. They just gave him what they got. Jesus knew that's all they had. And he knew that wasn't enough. But it was enough. Are you seeing it? He knew they didn't have enough, but it was enough. And so you might not have enough, but what you have, it's enough. How are we doing? Just give what you got and see what Jesus does with it. Give what you got. Here's what Jesus said to do. Verse 14. He said, have them all sit down in groups of 50s in a company. So Jesus had the disciples take these 5,000 and put them in groups of 50. All right? And the purpose of that is, as you can imagine, just to make it easier to distribute the food. And so as you can imagine, as they're having everybody get ready, and they're saying, all right, guys, let's go ahead and sit down so we can eat. They're saying that, but they're probably also thinking, but I don't know where it's going to come from. Like, we're going to eat something. I don't know what. Maybe we can just eat the dirt. I don't know. But sit down. We're going to eat. Okay? So this is happening. And they're doing what Jesus says. Here's what you do. You give him what you have, and you do what he says. You don't have to understand all of it. You just need to know that he told you to do it, and you gave him what you have, and you do what he says. And that's what they're doing. And then he took the bread, verse 16 says, and he took the fish and the loaves, and looking up into heaven, he blessed them and broke. So this wasn't some kind of mystical blessing here, okay? I could just imagine the artworks that people were painting. And they're like, food is raining. That's not how it worked. He was just doing what every other host did at every meal. At every meal, every Jew, at least the father of the house or whoever's hosting, would look up into heaven. And why are we doing that? We're recognizing where this food came from. Before they ate, they would look up into heaven, and then they would bless the food. The word bless here means to give thanks for. And so what do we do, right? We give thanks for our food. When we pray to bless our food before we eat, we're not really asking God to like transform this food into nourishment for us. Right? Not necessarily. I always love it when we go to McDonald's or we go get some ice cream and they're like, let's bless the food. And they say, Lord, bless this food to the nourishment of my bodies. It's not like we're asking God, I know this is not good, but can you make it good? We're not asking God to do some kind of transformation in the food. Here's all we're doing is we're thanking God for it. That's it. Before you eat, you ought to, every time, pray and acknowledge this food, whatever it is, God gave it to me. And we thank God for providing, we thank God for our food. That's why we pray before every meal, because we're understanding God did that. He provided. And that's what Jesus did here. He's just acting kind of normal at this point. And he takes a loaf, and he prays, he thanks the Father for it. He breaks. And then he breaks it and starts giving it to the people. You see, look at verse 16. He blessed them in the middle there and break and gave the disciples to set before the multitude. So if you study out that Greek word, that phrase really, gave to the disciples, it has this idea that he kept giving it. He was giving it. So here's how it worked. He would take one of those biscuits, he would break a piece off of the loaf and put it in a basket. And break a piece and put it in the basket. And break a piece and put it in the basket. And he just kept doing it. He just kept doing it. And then he would take a fish, little fish, break a piece, put it in the basket. Break a piece, put it in, and then the fish was still there. You see? And then he would fill the basket and give it to a disciple. So the next disciple would come up, and he would take a breath and do the thing. And he kept doing that. And it just kept coming. And it kept coming. And so you can imagine, if Jesus is, let's have Jesus be the Bible. How's that? Would that work? All right. And I'll be a disciple. I'm one of these guys that has any idea what's going on. And so we go up to God and took Jesus and he fills a basket. We take a basket and we go to this group of 50. Here you go. Take whatever you need, you know. And then they do. It's empty. They get in line. The other 12, they're there. Kind of like, you know, Fellowship Sunday. Amen. And then they get to Jesus, get the empty basket. He fills it up again. Goes to the next group. And they go back and get more. And so here's what's happening. They get what the people need. They go and they empty it out. Now they're empty. Go get more. Go to the next one. Now I'm empty. I better get more. It's almost like every week, whenever we get from Jesus, we get filled up and we give it to the people. And when we give it to the people, we're all empty and we better come back and get more. Don't tell me we don't need more preaching. We need more preaching because we'll get from Jesus here and we'll take it and we'll give it to the people. If you are thinking we have too much church, you might not be empty. Just an option. But we need to keep coming back. Keep coming back. Every day, asking God for strength. Every day, telling Jesus, listen, I got what you gave me. I gave it all out. I don't have any more. I need more. I need more. You seeing the lesson come about here? And he kept doing that, and they filled. And they kept, after they did that, everybody was filled, verse 17. And again, that word filled has the idea of being just stuffed. Gorged is a good word for it. And us Americans know exactly what that's about, right? Gorged. They didn't eat like that all the time. They weren't like us. They would eat what they need. But right here, they were stuffed, right? Yep. And there was more than enough. Listen, when you don't have enough, just give Jesus what you got. And all of a sudden, there's enough. When you don't have enough, give Jesus what you got, and all of a sudden, there's enough. Jesus will take what you have, and he will use it to provide both for those people and for yourself. The disciples didn't have enough to feed the people, but Jesus used it and made it plenty. That's how God works, right? And I think some of us look at the need and say, I don't have enough, so they just don't do anything. No, you look at the need, you realize, I don't have enough, but here's what I have. Jesus will take it and make it plenty. Just give what you got. So many Christians don't get involved because they don't have what it takes to serve God. Hey, God knows what you have. Just give him what you got. You don't have to give him more than you got. You just give him what you got. And he'll take it and make it plenty. When you see the field and you see the need to spread the gospel and you see how many people right here in this small town, Nebraska, 4,000 plus people who don't know Christ, you can't do that by yourself, but here's what you can do. Just give what you got. You can start passing out a couple of tracts every week. You can start talking to people about it. You can start smiling in front of the lost. You can just give what you got and see what God does. Hey, it can be overwhelming. And you might be tempted to think, how in the world am I going to do this? But listen, here's what you need to get from this. You are not called to fix everything. You just give Jesus what you got, and he will begin to do the miracle thing. That's his deal. You just give what you got. If you have family members or loved ones in your life who are struggling, maybe they've made some decisions that are going to make things very difficult for them, or maybe they're going through a major health problem, whatever it is, here's what you need to know. You don't have enough. You can't do it. But you have enough. Just give Jesus what you got. Are you following this? You just give him what you got. You just do what Jesus tells you to do and let him handle the miracle. You're not called to do more than you can do. You're just called to give what you got. And if it's not enough, it's not enough, but it is enough. How are we doing? Because Jesus can take what you got. And he can do amazing things with it. And when it's all over, and when you see him work, here's what you'll see at the end. 12 baskets full. 12 baskets full. After everyone was stuffed and had everything they needed, and Jesus made it happen, there were 12 baskets left over at the end of verse 17. Now the word basket here, you know, I've seen paintings of this too, and you've got like these huge baskets. No one was taking laundry hampers into the wilderness. These were just travel baskets. And so each one of them had a basket of food to eat. You see? And Jesus took care of them, didn't he? Because when you give what you got, Jesus makes sure you have what you need. When you give what you got, Jesus will see to it that you have what you need. He will. Oftentimes, Christians know what God wants them to do, but they're scared to do it because they might not be able to handle it. They don't know if they can be much of any help in this situation. And when it's all over, they're worried that in the end, they're not going to have anything left for themselves. If I give what I got, what do I have left? You see. But if you know what Jesus wants you to do, you got to be clear on that. Be clear on that. Get in the Word of God. Pray. Get counsel. But when you know what Jesus wants you to do, give what you got and trust him to give them what they need and to take care of you too. He'll do it. I know God wants me to be involved and work in the field and reaching Fall City, but I don't have much time. Just give him what you got. Just give him the time you have. You don't have much time, but you got time. Give him what you got. I don't know what to say to them. Just give them what you got. You got something. Give them that and see what God does. I know God wants me to tithe the first 10% of everything I make. The first 10% of all of our increase belongs to the Lord, the Bible says. And I know he says that. And I know he wants me to do that. But I don't know if I can afford it. Just give God what you got. Do what he says. And you see what God does. And see if he won't get some baskets there at the end for you. I know God wants me to be involved in this ministry, but I'm not sure if I can handle it. You just give God what you got and see what he does with it. I don't know how God can use someone like me. You're right. You've got nothing to offer. Just give him what you got. He'll do it. You seeing this? And you will be amazed how God takes care of you and fills your basket in ways you never thought possible. You just imagine this. The 12 were there. And it's not like they had brought lunch and the people didn't. They didn't have any food either. And all they've got is this 5 loaves and 2 fish. And if they're hungry too? That's probably what started this whole thing. Now I'm getting hungry. They must also be getting hungry. Right? And if they give that to Jesus, there is no guarantee that he's going to give them some back. At least physically speaking. Right? But they gave it to him and just trusted him that he knew best. And in the end, here's what Jesus does every time. When you give what you got, he'll make sure you have what you need. If you're here today and you're not saved, if you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, if you've never understood truly the kingdom of God, if you don't know what it means that he is your Savior, you're not sure what it means that Jesus is the Messiah who died and rose again, if you don't know if you were to die today that you'd go to heaven, I would sure love to talk to you about that. We didn't mention that a lot this morning, but Jesus is there and he's ready to receive you always, and he's ready to teach you the kingdom of God. And he's not here physically anymore to do that, but he's called the local church to do that, and I would be glad to meet with you and talk to you about the kingdom of God. But if you're saved this morning, here's what you need to do. Give him what you got. Because you might not have enough, but you have enough. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness. Help us, God, to recognize, as the disciples did, to recognize the need, and then to recognize humbly that we don't have what it takes to meet that need. But Lord, help us to trust you with that. Help us just to give what we do have and just watch as you do amazing and miraculous things as you have done right here in Falls City. Help us to be a part of that. Lord, I pray for those in here that may not know you as Savior, God, that you would work in their heart, help them to see their need to accept you and have forgiveness of sin and spend eternity with you. We love you in Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Let's stand together. So the mic is already playing. The piano is playing right now. If God's worked in your heart, now's the time to come.